Chinese New Year monsters, demons, and ghosts. Do Ang Baos protect you from paranormal sleep paralysis? In our latest Supernatural Confessions podcast, we examine the dark side of the Lunar New Year.
Supernatural.
Is anyone here? Can you please give us a sign?
Supernatural. Confessions.
Welcome to Supernatural Confessions, the Chinese New Year edition. My name is Tim O, and once again joining me is Eugene Tay. How you doing, Eugene?
Dong 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 ching. Very good, Tim.
Is that really how you usually do your Chinese New Year greetings when you go visiting? Yeah, straight away, dong 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 ching. Yeah.
That's how I walk in, you know, with a...
And that's how you get them to give you ang pao, is that you scare them into giving you ang pao.
Alamak, team, we are how old are they? We have to give the ang pao now, no?
That is true, that is true. So here's a question, though. A lot of people have been telling me, oh, you know, now that you have a child, and you go and you visit, instead of just giving, you also receive back as well. Do you actually think that you're receiving, or basically you just think that I'm still doing all the giving and the only recipient is my child and I don't get to touch that money?
I think it's a scumbag move if you people give your child ang pao and then you claim back from him, you know?
Ah, yes.
So
yes.
I don't do that, right? So I give ang pao, and if people give my kid ang pao, it belongs to him. It goes to his bank account.
Yeah, so but you don't do claims lah. Like, oh, you know, I got a claim for transport to get you there. Collect the ang pao. Oh, I got a claim for food because you ate this when we were out there. Then by the time we run through and we do our auditing, okay, maybe you got $10 for Chinese.
You're a deficit. You owe daddy.
All right. So before we start proper with today's episode, it's got to get through all the mumbo jumbo Supernatural Confessions. What are we? Where can you find us?
The best place to find us, it will be on supernaturalconfessions.com. That's our website. You'll find our YouTube videos there, all our podcasts. We have about 30 over podcasts, something we're very proud of. Thanks to you, Tim. Good job. We have stories on our blog. These stories are contributed by people and their confession. And we take a lot of pride curating all these stories and making sure that we are always up to date. So do check us out on www.supernaturalconfessions.com.
And one more thing you can help us with, get the word out, tell your friends about Supernatural Confessions, and also help to rate us, okay? Wherever you're accessing our podcast from, if it allows you to rate us highly, if you enjoy what you hear, please do so, because the higher the rating we get, I believe the more of a reach we will gain as well, okay? But before we actually go into today's Chinese New Year topic itself, I know you've actually been watching a few scary movies, and you've got a bit of a movie review going on our Supernatural Confessions website for The Grudge.
Yes, Tim. I do watch a lot of horror movies. That's part of what we do at Supernatural Confessions. And prior to Grudge, I actually caught this other Thai show, Kumantong, right?
I
wanted to write a review about that, but the show was so terrible, I just cannot get down to writing it proper. But the movie I caught right after that was The Grudge.
Now, for those who are unfamiliar with The Grudge, basically this franchise started a very long time ago in Korea, and it was known as Ju-on, right?
Yes, back in 1999.
Yeah, it spawned quite a few sequels, and then Hollywood decided they were going to try and do an English adaptation of it as well. So this latest Grudge is also an American production. Is it a sequel to the last American Grudge that we saw?
It's a sequel to the original Korean Grudge, Ju-on.
Oh, okay. Mm. So it follows up from the very first Korean movie.
It drops enough hints to refer back to that particular edition, the Ju-on.
Because there were quite a few Ju-ons. Ju-on 1, yeah. Ju-on 2. I don't know if there was a Ju-on 3. Even at some point, there was, you know, Kayako versus Sadako.
Yes, this huge crossover. So if you're horror fans, right, and you actually follow this franchise, there's 11 different variations of the Ju-on series. But what Ju-on series is known for is a curse, a grudge curse. No matter which edition that you watch, the 1, 2, 3, the spin-offs, it's all about brutal death and a vengeful spirit harming anyone who comes into contact with it.
All right, so does it work as a standalone movie? If I've never watched any of the Grudges or the Ju-ons before, can I still watch this?
Yeah, for The Grudge 2020, it would function as a standalone movie.
Okay, so was any good?
I personally found the movie to be quite exciting. But if prior to writing my review, I went online to just check, I have not found a single video that says Grudge is a good movie. So,
it was
slam left, right, center. But I actually found the points that they didn't like to be the points that I found attractive. And I try to quantify it in my review. You can check it out on the blog at supernaturalconfessions.com.
Right. Okay. So you would actually encourage somebody to actually watch this?
Oh, definitely. I encourage you to watch it.
Let me ask you in a different way, okay? Mm. The Grudge 2020 versus Revenge of the Pontianak.
Wow, no fight, Tim. No fight.
Okay.
Local boy, I would support local show, but Grudge 2020 beats Revenge of the Pontianak.
Really? Okay.
Actually, a lot of movies beat Revenge of Pontianak.
Okay, I hope Glenn Gui is not listening in, okay? All right, and with that, let's move on to the Chinese New Year part of the podcast as we go into the Year of the Rat. Is Chinese New Year a very big thing for you?
Nah, not really. It used to be a big thing when I was a young kid, but now as I grew older and it's costly, I try to run away from the country.
Okay, but obviously when it comes to Chinese New Year, it's known to be a very festive occasion, right? Very colorful, all about celebrations, dong dong cheng. People talk about the gambling, mahjong, you know, playing ban lak until don't know what time in the morning, losing all your ang bao, collecting treats, and just having a good time, right? Although I did find out something that was really scary today, probably scarier than any ghost story that I've heard in the last few months.
Wow.
And that is, did you know that three slices of bakwa has enough calories equivalent to 7 bowls of rice?
Whoa!
Yes. So if you eat 3 slices of bakwa, that's just like eating 7 bowls of rice.
Yeah, do you check out about pineapple tart? Because I finished like half the tumbler today.
Well, 6 pineapple tarts equates to 3 bowls of rice.
Screwed. Screwed.
Yeah. And I love myself kueh lapis, okay? I'm not even talking about eating the whole cake, right? Just 3 keping, right? Just 3 pieces of kueh lapis is the same as 3 bowls of rice.
So if you celebrate like Thanksgiving, Christmas, and now with Chinese New Year, that's it lah, you know.
Yeah, and then soon Valentine's Day as well, right? It's very, very difficult to eat healthily or to go on a diet.
That's scary. No, but when you think about Chinese New Year, you think of the bright lights, you know, everything's good luck, happiness. But you know that the history of Chinese New Year is actually from a very, very dark time in Chinese mythology.
Wow, so there is a dark side to the CNY.
It must be the Hantu, really. Like, not that I want to equate everything to the Hantu, but this is Chinese myth.
Right.
Chinese New Year. Do you know why it's celebrated?
Because we needed to find ways to get ang paos. Because us working adults needed at least 2 public holidays.
Maybe that will be more accurate. But the ang pao thing, there's a story about that too, and it's something to do with a demon. But I'm going to tell you about the idea of guo nian. You know, we said, oh, Chinese New Year, guo nian, guo nian. Guo nian means cross over the year. But nian has 2 meanings. Ancient China, nian is the name of a monster. For those of you who are not familiar with the story or you've forgotten about this, in ancient times, there was a monster named nian or nian shou. It has long head, sharp horns, and it dwelled deep in the sea all year round and only showed up every Chinese New Year's Eve.
Right.
It would eat people and livestock in the nearby villages. Right? So on New Year's Eve, what people would do is they'll flee to the remote mountains to avoid being harmed by this monster. So people back then in ancient China live in fear of this monster until an old man, typical of a Chinese Kung Fu master with long white hair and ruddy complexion, visited the village. Mysterious man.
Right.
He refused to hide in the mountains along with the villagers, and he says, I am going to scare away the monster.
Did he really say it in that way?
No, of course not. He said, 我要 吓那个 Nian monster away.
Okay. And then?
Right. His way of doing it is to paste red papers on doors, burn bamboos, which makes this loud cracking sound. This is firecrackers.
So when you burn bamboo, it starts to crackle away in the flames, is it?
Yes, correct. He'll light candles in the house, so you have to be bright all around, and he'll wear red clothes. So this is how he chased away the Nian monster. So when people realized that it worked for their old man, year after year, they would dress in red, they would turn on all the lights in the house and candles all be lit. They would make a lot of noise. They would tok-tok-chang, they would burn bamboo. And that is how this tradition is passed down till today.
To scare the monster Nian away.
That's right.
Okay. So that kind of makes sense, all right. I guess the only way to find out whether or not the Nian monster is real is to convince everybody to not throw firecrackers and
not wear red
and not make lots of noise, right? Alright, so that's one origin story of Chinese New Year. But you said there is a full dark side full of monsters and demons and ghosts.
So that's the story about the Nian monster.
Mm.
And the next story is about a demon.
There's also a demon associated with Chinese New Year. Okay.
Yes. And this has got to do with the red packets.
Or ang paos?
Yes. When you receive ang pao, you think it's for good luck, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just a show of, may you huat. But there is a dark story to how this red packet mythology came about. During the Chinese New Year period, the married or the elderly would give red packets to children or unmarried juniors, right?
Mm.
The red envelope is also called ya sui qian.
What does that mean?
Suppressing sui money.
And it's who is sui?
It's the Sui demon.
Sui.
The demon is called Sui. So when you give the red packet, it's a symbolic act to Ya Sui. You suppress the Sui.
So do you think this is the same Sui as in when someone is very unlucky? Ah, you damn Sui la.
I would think so, because how did the word, you know, in our Asian context, how did the word Sui came about? Is it like a Malay word, a Chinese word? So Malay thinks it's Chinese word, Chinese thinks it's Malay word. So I believe that the word Sui actually came from this Sui demon.
Okay. And what would this demon do?
So this demon would come out and terrify children at night while they are asleep.
Oh, okay.
So they will like sit on your chairs, they will terrorize children, right?
Mm.
So, and when children were touched by this demon, they'll be too scared to cry out and they'll get fever and they become mentally unstable.
Hey, do you think this is related to sleep paralysis?
Yes, even back then they have sleep paralysis, but they have different reason for that. So they blame it on the Sui demon.
Okay.
In order to keep the children safe from being harmed by the Sui demon, parents would light candles and stay up all night.
Okay.
And on New Year's Eve, in the household, parents would give their children 8 coins to play with in order for them to stay awake. So they'll wrap the coins in red paper, they'll open up each and every single packet. So every coin is 1 packet.
Right. Okay, so what? You spend the night counting money instead of going to sleep.
You try to stay awake as long as possible, so you avoid getting that Sui demon coming to you in your sleep. And what they do is, after they finish unwrapping all the 8 coins, they put it into a red envelope and put it under the pillow.
Okay.
Now, why 8? Because the Chinese believe that there are 8 fairies that will protect the children.
Oh, okay.
So when a Sui monster would come down and try to terrify the kid, the 8 fairies from the 8 coins in the red packet would come out and fight the demon.
Oh, so that's why we get ang paos. And that's why this year, instead of giving notes, I'm going to give people coins.
So you give 80 cents, enough with it.
There you go.
Or the $8 is not going to work.
All right, so we've covered the Nian monster, and we've also covered the Sui demon as well. And I understand there is a certain element of ghosts when it comes to Chinese New Year as well.
In Chinese mythology, heaven and earth and hell is one ecosystem. You can't do one without the other. It's a balance.
Okay.
So things like Hungry Ghost Festival, Chinese New Year, anytime possible, there will be a hantu story to accompany one of the festivals.
Okay. So if these ghosts are around all the time, how do we keep them at bay?
This is about the legend of why spring couplets are pasted on the walls of the homes.
Now, when you say spring couplets, you're talking about scrolls or wooden plaques with Chinese characters on them written vertically, and usually they put them on the side of doors, right?
That's the one, correct. So I obviously have no understanding of the words. I assume that they meant good luck, because I was told that when my parents bring home these couplets, they hang on the wall, it's meant to bring luck in.
Okay.
But Chinese legend has a different story entirely. Legend has it that there was a huge peach tree stretching for more than 1,500 kilometers on a mountain in the ghost world.
Oh, wow.
To the northeast of the tree, two guards named Shen Tu and Yu Lei guarded the entrance to the ghost world. They would catch the ghost.
Bro, yeah, it starts off so dramatic and scary, and then you try and pronounce Chinese, right? And then, like, the scare factor just disappears, you know?
You just can't tell a scary story with Chinese names in there.
Yeah, and well, we can't tell them, at least. Two Peranakan boys trying to speak Mandarin, it's terrible. You know, it started off so dramatic. To the northeast of the tree, two guards named Shen Tu and Yu Lei guarded the entrance to the ghost world.
When you said it that way.
So Shen Tu and Yu Lei,
they would catch the ghosts who harm people and then send them to the tigers as food.
Okay.
So these are the guardians who would catch the spirits and all that to bring them to the underworld so that they don't harm the living during Chinese New Year.
Hey, is this related to the Tua Tia Pek?
Maybe back then they would have two different names, Shen Tu.
Oh, okay. Because it's because Tua Tia Pek also are known as the two generals of hell that are supposed to keep the ghosts from disturbing humans, right?
Yes, that's right. So they are supposed to like, you know, especially Seven Man, they will be the ones catching the spirits, bringing them down to the underworld.
Okay.
So maybe in Chinese New Year they different shift. So
they hand over duty to Shen Tu and Yu Lei. Okay.
Therefore, all ghosts were afraid of the two guards, and it was believed that to hang a piece of pitch wood with an inscription of the two guards' name on the doors could scare away all these evil ghosts.
So instead of using their images, you just write their name, and that's enough to scare the ghosts away.
Yeah. So now with all the other Chinese auspicious, you know, bring luck in, actually may not be exactly very effective because you're supposed to write Shen Tu and Yu Lei.
Okay. What if we just have an audio recording of you pronouncing Shen Tu and Yu Lei?
Might scare away everybody.
All right. So that explains the legend of the spring couplets, why we stick them up on each side of the door. We heard about the monster known as Nian and also the Sui demon. Okay. A couple of other things that I found, Eugene, which superstitions that have to do with Chinese New Year. Do you go visiting throughout all the 15 days of the New Year?
I don't have that big extended family. So not that many houses to visit. Usually by day two, I'm done already.
Okay, so you don't actually visit anybody on the third day, right?
No.
Okay, which is a good thing because apparently the third day of CNY is considered ominous. You're not actually supposed to go visiting. This day is believed to be the day of red mouth, and it's also known as the day of the red dog. And according to Chinese culture, because it's the day of red mouth, this refers to when you use your mouth and you start quarrels and fights. They say if you go out, it's going to be very easy for your mouth to get you into trouble. Okay. And also when they say it's the day of the red dog is the god of blazing wrath, and bad things will happen if people run into the red dog spirit. That's why you should stay home on the third day of Chinese New Year.
I think my wife might be possessed by the red dog spirit all year round.
They also say that how you start the new year is basically going to determine how the rest of the year is going to turn out. That's why when we lohei, we say all these things like, you know.
Like what? What, for example, Tim? Like, could you just give us some example of what we shall?
Nian nian you yu. Uh-huh. All right, because yi is not just fish, but it also means surplus as well. Yeah, you say da ji da li, tian tian mi mi.
Wow, not bad, not bad.
That's really all I know. I just repeat that over and over and over again. That's why people say, okay, you must eat lots of dumplings and stuff like that because they signify wealth. If you start the year off surrounded by a lot of wealth, then hopefully this is just going to continue all throughout the year, right?
Mm.
But on the other hand, if you do terrible things at the start of the year, then that's also going to carry through. Like, for instance, if you say any bad things, if you mention anything negative at all, okay, then you're just going to be negative for the rest of the year. So when you say your wife is possessed by the red dog,
oh no, the whole of 2020, I'm going to get necked at. Oh.
Not just 2020, bro, because remember, the year of the rat is going to continue into 2021.
Oh, man. Yeah. I take that back.
And also the use of foul language. You should not talk about death, and you should not tell ghost stories.
Oh.
At the start of the new year.
When is this audio podcast going to be released.
And that is why, as of this recording, Chinese New Year hasn't actually started yet. But that's also not going to stop us, right?
No. We are hardcore that way. We got to stay true to our fans.
Yeah. And of course, speaking of our listeners, right, if you've heard of any other superstitions, things relating to ghosts or demons or monsters, you know, we'd love to hear them as well, okay?
I don't know about you, Tim, but I do enjoy all these customs and stories that come from the past. Like, we hear people say, oh, now we are so modern, we don't follow all this. But I think there's a lot of color and, and flavor to actually read all these stories and to, you know, let our imagination run. And even if it's not true, maybe it's not true, we don't know because it's not scientifically proven.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad a thing to try to surround yourself with positive thoughts at the start of a new year, right?
Of course. Positive thoughts that involve hantus, is it? And by the way, speaking of Chinese New Year and ghost stories, we have dropped another episode of Tales After Twilight, particularly focused on Chinese New Year, all right? And the interesting thing is, the ghost stories that I talk about mention things that happened during the Chinese New Year period, even when they weren't in Singapore. So someone who was visiting Japan during Chinese New Year a few years ago, kena hantu experience. Someone who visited Taiwan a few years ago during Chinese New Year, also kena hantu experience as well.
Must be the Sui demon.
Or the Nian monster, all right? So continuing on ghost stories, I want to say thank you to our friends over at Goody Feed, all right? One of the websites that I like to check out. They've listed on their site, once again, Goody Feed, a few Chinese New Year ghost stories. And I just wanted to read a few of these out to you, Eugene, and see what you think, okay?
Okay.
The first one is called The Sister Who Came Back for a Visit During Chinese New Year. All right. It occurred in Malaysia a while back. In this family, a daughter had just been killed in a car accident a few days before Chinese New Year. All right. So according to tradition, if there's a death, you don't actually go out and celebrate. So the family comprised of the parents, two sons, and the deceased daughter. Now, on the eve of Chinese New Year, after their reunion dinner, they were watching TV when they suddenly felt a cold wind. Now, the two sons turned to their parents and they said, they actually heard their sister's voice. But the parents just went, don't talk nonsense lah. Don't talk rubbish. Just dismissed it as their imagination. Now the next morning, when the parents went to the late daughter's room, they found that the tidied bed was all messed up. Right? As if someone had slept there the night before. And then they took a look and they found an angbao below a pillow. Now, as we mentioned earlier, it is customary for kids to put the angbao, the money, under their pillow, right?
Yeah.
And when they opened the angbao that was under the pillow, they nearly fainted because inside, they found 180 ringgit. What does that translate to?
Divide by 3, 60? 60 sing?
60 sing. Hmm. And 60 sing is the amount that they had often given to their daughter every year.
Wow. Mm. I like that story because it gives, it tugs on the heartstring. The date it comes back to visit the family and to give angpao in return.
Yes, because this time, initially, I was a little worried. I was like, oh my goodness, basically this story is trying to say that even when people pass away, they still come back to collect angpao. But in this particular story, when the deceased daughter came back, she didn't collect, she actually gave an angpao.
So I like the story for the meaning behind it. I can still believe that the daughter, the spirit of the daughter, came back to visit. That much I will give credit to the story, because I believe that the spirit of the departed will always come back and visit the family. That's why in Chinese family you have the ancestral tablet with the belief that the ancestors will come and give blessings to the family, especially during Chinese New Year, where you would give offerings to the ancestor with the idea that they will come back and give blessing. So hearing a story about the dead sister coming back, they feeling this presence, I believe that. Going to a room of the dead sister, seeing the bed,
messed up.
I believe that as well, because stories like that have happened in many different cases.
Yeah.
But to get the angpao and have that ringgit inside, now that to me is I began to question, how can a spirit, you know, manipulate money and put it into the angpao? But stories, as the way they are, when they pass from one mouth to another mouth as it goes along the broken Chinese telephone, people tend to add different flavors in just to bring out the lesson, you know, just bring out that flavor of the story. So part of it, I believe it is true. The part where I'm having difficulty wrapping my head around is the ghost able to give the ringgit. Okay. So maybe you got your hell note, and there must be a money changer in the underworld for you to change to ringgit and put into the angpao. That's a bit far-fetched.
Alright, you stay with that thought as we move into this next story, okay?
Okay.
In a small town in China, there was the owner of a restaurant who kept it open during CNY. You know, most restaurants, they were closed, right? But he decided, you know, he wanted to make some money, kept it open. Now, he was the only person manning the restaurant. And on the second night of New Year, just as he was about to close, a couple came in. So he let them order, and after the meal, they paid and they gave the owner an ang pao. Now, when the owner went home, he opened the ang pao, and guess what he found inside?
Hell not.
Exactly. He found hell money inside the ang pao. Now, initially, he thought it was a prank, so he decided to track down the people. And he found out a few days later that the couple he had served and had given him the ang pao had been dead for several years. But there was a rumor going around that their spirits always lingered around the town during Chinese New Year.
I like again, I'm a fan of horror stories, right? And stories like this where spirits give something to the living, that story has always fascinated people. You hear variations of such stories, like the cab driver who gave a ride home to the young girl
and got hell notes.
So this variation of the story where a couple comes down to the restaurant and pay in hell notes, it's in that vein, in that line. I would imagine if the spirit would come to the restaurant, they would have a reason. From my understanding of how spirit functions, if it's a soul of a deceased, they will usually go back to places that they are familiar with.
Yeah.
So could it be that this is a couple that would always go down every Chinese New Year? And if they did, then I would assume the chef would recognize them. But since the chef don't recognize them, perhaps then this could be a first encounter. And if it's a first encounter, again, why would they choose this restaurant? It's not like spirits need to eat. I like the story. I'm just not sure, based on my experience and my understanding of the paranormal world, I just don't think this might be a genuine story.
And this provides us with a very good lesson, okay? We've heard stories about taxi drivers who collect money and it turns out to be hell notes. Now we know the story of a restaurant owner who took payment in the form of an ang pao and inside was hell notes. From now on, in this day and age, with all the technological advancements that we've had, when it comes to transactions, you use PayNow or PayLah and you're not going to have this kind of problem, okay?
No, but there is a lesson about this. Back then, when these sort of stories were very popular, it's about treating everyone well, because you don't know if the person you're being rude to is a spirit or not. And usually people who receive the hell notes in the ang pao, it's not sui. They usually have a windfall after that through 4D or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was the lesson that these stories were trying to represent. When you are meeting someone you don't know, a stranger, always be kind to the stranger, because it may be a spirit who will give you a windfall.
Okay. All right. Now let's move on to one on Goody Feed called The Stranger That Took a Hitch. Now, during CNY, many people rush back to their homes, to their villages. There'd be a jam everywhere. And somewhere in China, there was a guy called Lu Ban, okay? And he was going back to his town and decided to drive late at night on the eve of Chinese New Year to avoid the jam. Now, he was driving and suddenly, in the middle of the road, he saw someone, and this person wanted to hitch a ride. Now, seeing that he was all alone, he stopped and he let him in. And he found out from the stranger they were going in the same direction, right? He was going back to his town as well. Claimed that he had gotten into a small accident and he couldn't continue on his way back. So Lu Ban was a very stand-up guy, and he was like, okay, sure, I'll give you a ride, dude. And so Lu Ban drove along, dropped the guy off when they reached a village, and carried along his way. And when he started talking to his friends, right, and he explained the story about this guy who he had picked up and brought him home, everybody in the village looked at Lu Ban and they said, this guy that you just told us about, he was involved in a car accident many, many years ago, and he passed away. So, who was the guy that Lupin gave a ride to?
Ching, ching, ching.
A similar story, similar to a lot of the taxi stories that we hear, especially that happen around the seventh month, right? About how sometimes you pick up strangers, you give them rides, and then after that you turn around, they're not there, or you drop them off somewhere, and then you find out that they're dead. So this looks like just a different variation of the same story, just changed to suit the Chinese New Year theme.
Yeah, because back then, people would use stories to imbue messages and values to teach the young. And that's how all these stories, mythology, folk tales tend to come along. So there's probably some truth to it. Somebody along the way have had this experience, given a lift to a spirit, only to realize that the person was actually deceased long ago. And chances are, whoever is given a favor for the spirit had a windfall. This is how the story start to evolve over time, where, like I said just now, it's a lesson for us to learn, because we should be kind to strangers. You never know when you might meet a generous spirit.
Wow. Okay. And that leads us to our final story, okay? There was once upon a time a family that was waiting around for their relatives to come by their house to visit during Chinese New Year. This happened in China. And while they were waiting, they suddenly got news that their relatives were involved in a fatal accident. Now, the family was very depressed, and they thought, well, you know, no mood to celebrate anymore. They're not going to come and visit, so they decided to go overseas instead. Now, what happened while they were overseas was a little creepy. The father of the family got a call from his neighbor. The neighbor said, "Hey, your relatives came. Where are you?" And the father was like, "What do you mean my relatives came? My relatives passed away. How could they have come?" So they, you know, thought, oh, maybe it's somebody who's coming in to rob the house or something like that. So he told the neighbor to call the police. And then the neighbor said, oh, the moment I threatened to call the police, they went away. So when the family finally came back, there was CCTV, right? Footage. And they got the shock of their lives, because on camera were their relatives, the same relatives who had passed away in the accident.
Chinese believe that when someone passed away, the soul will come back on the seventh day and the 50th day.
Mm.
So for the spirit to come back and visit the family, again, this really falls in line with the Asian belief that spirits do return within that period.
And even death will not keep someone from collecting money from you.
Even death cannot prevent your pesky relative from coming to visit and asking you questions. Like, when are you going to get married again? How come you're so fat?
Yo. Is that usually, is that what happens in your family then?
No, not my family. My Peranakan family got worse things to say than this. But, you know, it is like a common fear from a lot of middle-aged people, or, you know, ladies especially. You're hampang, you're very full. When are you going to get married? Yeah, so it's a thing. Okay. Between the boomers and the rest of the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, that takes us to the end of these Chinese New Year stories. Once again, you can find them off Goody Feed, which I thoroughly enjoyed reading. Okay. And of course, if you have any more stories, Chinese New Year related or otherwise, that have to do with ghosts or the supernatural, we urge you to contact us as well, either through our Facebook page or on supernaturalconfessions.com.
Also, I want to thank you guys who have submitted your confessions to us. We have read it. We have tried to reach out to you guys. We will be revealing all these stories on our blog in time to come. And if you know anyone with stories to share, if you have stories to share, don't be shy, drop us a message. It's very easy. Just go to supernaturalconfessions.com. if you're using your mobile device, it's the first screen you see. You type your message there, send it to us with your name. If you want us to keep your name anonymous, just let us know and say, don't reveal who I am, okay? And we will respect that.
Of course, if you want more than just to share your story, maybe you have questions that need to be answered, and you want to engage the help of our specialists who have many years of paranormal investigations under their belt, you can also ask Eugene or ET as well, and they, you know, are more than happy to answer your queries. Or if you suspect that maybe a particular item of yours or a particular location that you know about is haunted, you know, we may even conduct an investigation as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, and one more thing I wanted to say. You know how this is the time where a lot of people like to go fortune tellers and all that to see what's in store for them in the year of the rats? Well, we don't really have a fortune teller, but we do have a tarot card reader.
Our resident tarot card reader. I just subscribed to a service yesterday.
Engaged.
I just engaged her services yesterday. And yep. I would say that she was extremely accurate.
Mm.
Extremely. Just to give you an example before we sign off, how accurate it was. I was working on a project recently in the last couple of weeks, and I have not revealed it to the public yet. But it's designed for the deaf community. And on the website that I was creating, there was a giant year. It's like, you know, your year, right? On the screen. So when Zoe was reading for me, and she told me to close your eyes and breathe, and she says, I don't know why, but I see a giant year floating, just one year floating.
Wow.
Do you have any problem with your year lately? Or, you know, do you hear things? Like, why? I don't understand why I'm seeing a year. And I was like, wow. And I showed her my website, which was under, you know, like development, and I told her I'm doing this project. I have not revealed it to anybody. She says, oh yeah, that makes sense, because this is something that I've been like actively involved with, and it's like top of my mind. So that's how she kind of connected with me as the first thing she saw.
So because you were doing this project that was related to, you know, hearing impairment, so she could actually see in her mind an ear floating in the air.
Yes.
Wow. All I can say is thank God your project didn't have to do with male underwear, bro. Who knows what poor Zoe would have had to see?
Uncle Whitey's.
All right. And with that said, thank you so much for tuning in once again to our latest podcast. A reminder, if you want to reach us, supernaturalconfessions.com, or you can look us up on Facebook. Should you have any stories, throw them into us. Let us add them to our podcast. And do us all a favor, help us spread the word about Supernatural Confessions, the podcast, and also rate us highly on the different podcast platforms as well. Okay. With that said, my name is Tim O.
And I'm Eugene Tay. And you're listening to
Supernatural Confessions.
Supernatural Confessions.